Good evening, everyone. This is Joan.
And this is JW. How's everybody doing this evening? I hope well. And welcome back to Seating of the Divine, Level 4, Session 4, May 27th, 2019. Now, this teaching sequence that we're going to be going through is really to overall assist the body's fifth dimensional improvements. Now, these physical body upgrades will help us process and maintain more light. We will also be working with the enhancement of our DNA. Now, tonight, we will start off with a meditation with Archangel Gabriel, followed by a group discussion of the homework assignment. Next, Master Kathumi will share with us some additional information on his topics. We will then have a Q&A session, and we ask a favor this evening, please, that we understand some people are shyer than others, but we would really like the folks who normally don't speak up to at least acknowledge that they're here listening and they're alive and well. And just a couple of words and to see how you're doing and what kind of challenges you had, anything that you would care to share with us would be really special this evening. Also, there is a large group of several collective realms attending this evening in our crucible. The angelic realm, as well as the archangelic League of Light, the Lords of Light, and the Master Realms have gathered with us in our crucible to assist in setting the energies for this evening. Now, because of the presence of this group, be aware that there will be a large amount of energy transmitted in a holographic format. Now, of course, as you remember, the homework assignment was for you all to study the medulla oblongata, the pituitary, and the pineal, and how they affect the mental, emotional, body. Now, that's obviously just put in a couple of words. It's much broader than that, but that's basically the essence of it. So, now, let's all take a deep breath and assist Joan in bringing forth Archangel Gabriel.
Greetings. It is I, Gabriel. We have all gathered this evening in this crucible of light that we have created for you's ability, not only in times that we all gather together, but also this valuable crucible is usable individually. Don't forget that. We want you to access the energies and the membership of this very valuable crucible of light. This keeps you on track with the teachings, with the holographic projections that are being sent to you in massive amounts, and they will be made usable by you, each one of you, individually, differently. So we want you to keep this in mind, that they're not all downloaded into your energetic system in one fell swoop. They gradually are implemented as you move through your daily life, through weeks and months of this coming year. So now, that said, take a deep breath and focus your attention in your sacred heart center. And let us all, in that magnificent light, source light that we each carry, meet in our crucible, taking our seat for this meeting, this gathering. We meet heart to heart, spirit to spirit, reflecting our individuality, our collectiveness, and our divinity. Take another deep breath and breathe in the love that is being shown by each one of us to each other as we gather together to discuss and to receive more of the holographic projection that was given through Master Kutumi in the last session. This continues to flow each time you gather with us. Another deep breath. Feeling the energies that are being created at this very moment. The magnificent light that is being created all very present in this moment.
Thank you, Gabriel, for such a great start to our session as you always give us, and we are very pleased for that moment that you give us to get centered and to move on with the evening. Thank you so much. Now, let's move on to tonight's subjects. And, of course, the most important message that I have been given to share with you this evening is to pay attention to the holographic energies that are downloaded continually during these sessions. They are constructed to set expansive light templates that will precede all the teachings this year. These holographs are designed to train the body to recognize these energies and make them usable within the body consciousness. We must also be aware that this energetic holographic format will exponentially expand our use of the spoken concepts through language. We learn to be aware of these vaster forms of communication. Energetic holographs expand the usability of the concepts that are taught. Now, remember, we must always be vigilant to these energy transfers and specifically what they mean to us personally and what you do with them. This is a year of continued introspection and personal evolvement. Now, let's open our session to a deep discussion of the last teaching and how it translates into creating more sovereignty, in the mental, emotional body specifically. Now, what does that mean to you? Remember, when you want to make your comments, please press *6 and you will be live. When you are finished speaking, please press *6 again, and this will limit the background noise. Now, to open this session, let's all take a deep breath and help Joan bring forth Master Kuthumi to be with us this evening.
Greetings, beloved. It is I, Kuthumi. I have been looking forward to this gathering this evening with each and every one of you. And I want you to understand that this is your session. You are in charge of how these sessions go. They are designed by you. They are your community calls. And so it's up to you to conduct them in the ways in which you would like to see the interaction take place between your membership. After the discussions, we will open the format to any questions that you might have. But I might interject here that some of those questions can be answered by the community at large. This makes for a very interesting conversation where you begin to really bond as a community, where you can express your views on a question that is asked by another member, because you have the answers. You have traveled this path for a while now. So through your own personal experience, you know some of the answers to some of these questions. And then at the end of these discussions, we will be available to take further questions if needed or make a comment. So with that, I turn this community call over to the community.
Hi, this is Mark. I have a question that I think runs through the last two sessions we've had. It involves the concept of holographic energetic infusions. I'd like to have some understanding, a better understanding of exactly what that means. I think I understand what a hologram is, at least from a third dimensional standpoint, but I don't understand holographic energetic infusions. Can somebody help me?
Mark, this is Joan. Maybe it would be if you would want to give your what you know about it, what your viewpoint is on it, and then maybe somebody else in our group could comment on that and say what they see.
Joan, I'll make a stab at it.
Okay.
In that I think that, you know, energetic infusions are coming to us from the non-physical. And I guess that the concept of holographic is a step up from what we have been doing the last few years. That's about all I can get out of it. And that's why I'm stumbling a little bit.
This is Charlotte. Hello?
Hi, Charlotte.
What I see the holographic things when they come in is the rays of light that come in will then form specific patterns and will form specific pictures within that. Kind of like the signal coming in on your television.
As opposed to a radio?
Correct. Because to me, the holographicness of it is that it's got a 3D piece to it, and in within that 3D piece, or that lots of times it shows up as a triangle or as a tetrahedron with the picture in the center of it, almost suspended.
Okay, that's helping. Yes.
And just like sound can make a certain geometry, so sometimes it's light, sometimes it's sound, but it all weaves itself together to present the picture. Is how it comes in my head. Sometimes I'm viewing it more in the etheric, as if it's hanging out there in the energy field, and sometimes it will put a picture on my viewing screen. But the geometries, I'll see the, if you ever see like those rays of light coming through a cloud, that's how it'll first come in. And I can just see the lines of light coming in, sometimes different colors. And then it'll go together and form a geometry, and then from a geometry into something more visual.
So the holographic piece makes it more visible in some way to our visualization, if you will.
That in our understanding how it comes through some of the templates that we have been integrating.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
And sometimes I look at some of the templates as if you're shining the light through a church window with all the different color glass, and then it creates a design. And that's one of the ways I can better explain sometimes what the designs of a template will look like for me. And there'll be a triggering of a a memory or sometimes a triggering of an application of something you already know. It would be like, I'd say, will you go in the kitchen and make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You know what that is, and you know how to do that. You know things about it, how it tastes and all that stuff. That's the kind of memory it would bring up, something you already know but haven't really put any attention on in the moment, or maybe even in a long time.
Hi, this is Pat. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Carlotta and Mark. I think that is really good feedback from both of you with the visual. I noticed something the other night. I was kind of in between that state of sleep and awake, and I was sort of trying to focus on what would the holograms feel like. Maybe not so much what they would look like, although I do tend to be visual. But so as I was doing that, I was kind of going into my universal mind to sort of get a hit on it all. And then I noticed just a spinning and a spinning and a spinning that was increasing in frequency and duration in my body. The only word I could, at first I just thought it was dizziness, oh, this is an ascension symptom or what have you. But then I noticed that it was more spinning, and it was more like, what would the word be, vertigo, kind of if you stood up, you wouldn't feel that you were grounded. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just refresh my grounding cord and see what happens there. And I did that, and I got just a little visual hit along with this spinning and spinning and spinning. It was like I was seeing a color, but I don't know what the color would be other than to tell you it looked iridescent, as though I were an ice skater and spinning round and round, and I really have no ability to do that, but in my head and in my body it was happening. And then occasionally in this sort of like sparks that were coming off of the spinning that I was feeling in my head, occasionally I would see numbers, just one-digit numbers, like 6 or 4 or 5. And I asked, is this a hologram? And I didn't get a particular yes or no. What I got was this sort of feeling, go deeper, ask a different question. And that's what I experienced, and I haven't experienced that since. And I really hadn't had too much wine to drink or anything.
That's too bad.
I was quite sober.
This is Sharka. I also have received, I believe it was a holograph in my dream. It was like half awake dream, and I was drawing geometry. I was drawing two squares connected with each other, and I was very happy about what I was drawing. And then I have realized that someone has drawn that picture before, and so I was continuing to draw it, And then more I was drawing it, I understood, in the dream, I understood what it meant. When I woke up, I had realized that I saw a part of the holograph, and I put attention on it, what it meant. And the answer came that it was two squares would symbolize two manifestations, one spiritual, one physical, being connected. That's all I wanted to say about it. Thank you.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
And Charlotte and Patton and Sharka, this is Sandy. I experienced a feeling of the holographic projection I before our first session in this level 4 session. And in my meditation, I was going through, running all the energy through all the triads and chakras and grounding and all of that. And then I realized, well, we haven't really looked at the fifth chakra that much, the throat chakra. And so I put a little attention on that and then realized, okay, that I will need to take a look at this a little bit more. That was about the day before our first session, and then it was like, oh my goodness, here's the answer. Here we went right into the throat chakra in the first triad, and then we went into how it is connected to the medulla oblongata, the mouth of God. That just stunned me. It was something that came in on my reading screen before the first session in my meditation. So I felt like I was picking up on something because it was out of the blue. I had not thought about that at all. I was just going along with regular running of the energy. So I thought that was interesting, and it was easy. It wasn't anything difficult. It just happened. And along with that, in our first session, I could feel the energetics of how that was all beginning to come together and be defined. So that's all I have to offer. If that helps.
Hi, this is Joanne. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I had it on a couple of mutes, so I love this discussion. How it's so unique to each of us, and yet the interconnection. And I think that's part of what the invitation was that I heard in the last session for our homework was. To see how it arose for each of us. And for me, the experience of, I think your language, Mark, was like the infusion of the holographic energies. And what I'm experiencing is as the energies come in, it activates parts of me, like I feel a full activation. I feel things very energetically, and everyone does. But I mean, rather than visual or thought, mine is more in my body, which is part of my journey to bring it into form, into my physical body. And what I really notice arising is the interconnection of everything. So where the DNA of our cell holds the hologram of the whole unit of our whole body,
that I see in everyday life. It's almost like the matrix is being decoded. So if I feel competition or if I feel anger or something like that, I'm starting to see where all of those, the hologram of all of those seeds planted along the collective as well. So it's rather decoding the matrix of the third dimensional playground and also offering new vision for fifth plus dimensional living that's coming through. So it's quite interesting and very, very deep, yet also practical. And I love the idea of decoding the matrix and having that that come out. So thank you. Thank you for the question.
Hi, this is Mark again. I just want to say thank you to everybody because I don't know that I can put it into words, but after this discussion, I energetically or in some way have a better understanding. So thank you.
And this is Joan. I'd like to make a comment on that too. You know, for me, it comes in different ways. I'm not a very visual person because I've used my clairaudience for so long, and it is a very clear channel. So sometimes I've noticed through that third eye and the activation that has begun more so in the third eye, in the eye of Horus, that what I used to call my mind's eye is very active, and I may not get a visual like on a TV screen, but there is an awareness or a knowing of something that is being presented energetically to me. So I think for each of us, it's a little different, and it varies according to the energetics that we are able to start integrating, whether it comes through a sound channel or whether it is a color, a geometry. It varies as we move along in experiencing these things. At least that's what I have found.
Well, I guess it's my turn. I'm quite a bit different. As a kid, I remember reading a lot of science fiction, and I remember telling Joan about that one time, and she thought that was the silliest thing she ever heard of. But I'm reminded that sometimes right in front of us, we can be given signals. And I remember, it brings to mind the last Star Wars movie. Princess Leia is trying to communicate to the group. And it's not a TV screen or a wall, but it's the center of the room, and there is a circular motion going on. And she, as I remember, she appears momentarily, but there's interference of some kind. But that, to me, was basically the outline that I can visualize what a holographic projection would be. You know, if you think about it, when you're trying to, as I'm sure we've all done, you know, try to communicate to Andromeda. Well, you know, I don't think there's any TV antennas that go that far. And there's not enough energy that can put us there. So there's got to be something else. And I think that is, to me, that's kind of the explanation I have. And I'm sorry if that throws everybody off. But
No, I don't think so. I think that was, a very clear way that you received the imaging.
Hey, everybody, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I can relate to a couple things. And like John was just saying, I was thinking about the holodeck on Star Trek, Next Generation, and how it just creates such a vivid reality. It's just a completely, whatever reality you want to experience, you program it into the computer, and it creates that reality for you. And you can be on a beach on Vulcan 2 with two moons and three suns or whatever, But also, a couple people talked about feeling and about intuition. Sometimes I get visuals, but with this, I think it's been more feeling and more intuition. And it's like states of consciousness. And a couple things that, I can define, it's been really heavy, high energetic experience. I don't want to call it heavy because it's, really bright light. And I think it was Sandy that was talking about, I can feel Kutumi or the collective lighting up those parts of the brain, the pituitary and the amygdala and the pineal gland and the, the one in the back there, we all know what it is. And sometimes the lights are bright. I can't think of other things like right now, but also states of consciousness, feeling, the Christ consciousness and the unity consciousness. I've been able to hit that quite a bit lately. And I feel like to me, maybe it's oversimplified, but they're just, to me, it's a hologrammatic projection of the divine image, Christ consciousness, unity consciousness, and kind of, projecting that into the brain, and the brain's, starting to accept that reality, just like I was on a holodeck kind of thing. So that's kind of the way it is, for me. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, perfect.
Mark again.
Hi, this is Mark again. I just got a huge hit out of this conversation, and that is the communications that I get, which I then put into writing, basically are holograms that come to me, and then my job is to go and put those into words. And so this whole conversation is a real, whoa, now I understand what's going on. So again, thank you all.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I'd like to share, that was really helpful, Mark. I'm glad you stepped in and said that. I want to share what I think is my experience from this work, and it feels for me very experiential. My life is taking off in a way that it's sometimes hard for me to hold all the energy that's trying to come through. My project is taking off, and what's the way I'm physically experiencing it, that's the point, is I am physically experiencing it. My throat chakra is opening up so much. I'm doing lots of speaking. And then when I get on the stage and start talking, I mean, Debbie said she's witnessed it. It's like stuff just starts coming through about the topic that I'm passionate about, and it just starts coming through. And sometimes I feel like it's so much energy that I can't make my mouth move fast enough, or my brain can't keep up with the thoughts. The other thing that's happening is lots of creativity is coming through about what I want to say or what I want to write. When we did the medulla oblongata meditation and focused on that area, my energy level shot up so high every time we did that it was it was a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, how do I contain this? I was ecstatic. I was elated. So I'm kind of glad that you brought this question up, Mark, because I'm wondering if what I'm experiencing is related to this holographic energy that is coming through. That's it for me. Thank you.
And I guess thank you for that comment, because I now understand a whole lot better of what is going on for people that, you know, write about this and speak about it. It's that we're presented with a hologram and are being asked to put it into words. That just makes so much sense to me all of a sudden. So thank you all. What a deal.
Yeah.
Charlotte again. And that's what's so amazing with our whole collective, is the holograms that we're going to each be presented will be different.
Right.
And so Mark will be bringing the stuff that comes through to him and each one of us, and then we can share that, and some of us will get, I want to say, different versions, or I call working on the same project, and we'll get a different perspective, or your ability to, decode it, is more refined than the next person, and that's what enables us as a collective to do some of the amazing work and bring onto the planet some of the things that we are.
Right. I think
here to do.
Charlotte, that the each one of us, of course, has a purpose in this embodiment, and we are so unique. So what we take from these massive holograms is very individual. But then it's our job to take it out into the world in that unique expression, because it takes all of us. We all have a piece here to deliver, and mine is not the same as yours. So that was a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of the things, since I work so much with the crystals, that's a lot of the stuff that ends up coming through, and
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I've seen it, and then all of a sudden someone else somewhere on some other source will show up with the same thing and say, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I saw that. I didn't know that's what you were calling that, but, you know, it's like one of them is the example of the the piezoelectric piece that's inside a crystal is what they use inside those lighter sticks in order to make the little spark, the little flow of electricity to ignite the gas at the end of the little stick that we use to light our campfires. It's another application of crystalline technology.
Mm-hmm.
We all use them. We just didn't know we were using crystalline technology.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we're
bring more and more of that through each person. It's peace, and what I know for me is a lot of that data knowingness does not sit in the rational brain. So I've got to allow myself to shift into the knowingness, that universal intelligence and information that you have. That you don't even know you carry so much knowledge. And each of us do.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of build on this a little bit. And I picked up on something that you said, Joan, about it's time to bring it into the world. And I have been feeling this really, really powerfully. And I, like, since 2008, I've been receiving downloads of new paradigm models, like new education models, new, like, all parts of the interconnection. And at the beginning of April, I got those were preparing me to receive the whole, and then I got the infusion, and it's kind of like awe, as the energy of awe, but awe is simply a word for the essence of unified love. And it's not just one person. It's kind of like the rainbow is made up of all the different colors, and the red doesn't try to be the blue, and so on. We're all different vibrations, and together we will create the whole. And I'm putting it out there. If our community or anyone in our community is kind of interested in bringing this in, like in very real, practical creations, and what that looks like. So I have my piece, and I know we bring it in just by being who we are, and yet there's an imperative in me that is to, you know, create these different, the new paradigm in the world, based on the visions that I've been receiving and whatever anyone else has to add to them. So I'm just being very vulnerable and putting that out there right now.
Thank you.
This is Anne Marie. I can relate to a lot of the things that were mentioned with the vibrations and the color code and the geometry. I've had a sort of a special visual where all the colors came in, and the magenta, which is a color that I don't see often, came through clearly. And I have the, I know we're talking about the holographic transmissions, infusions.
Mm-hmm.
When they come in, I was wondering whether they come in through the Eye of Horus. And the Eye of Horus, we received a special teaching on that in 2011. That the Eye of Horus was situated in the third eye, the pineal, and the crown chakra, or above the crown chakra. So whenever these energies come in, they seem to come in through all these areas and into the brain, and flow into the body, sometimes right down to the spine. So I don't know if anyone else has information on the Eye of Horus as such.
This is Kelly. I don't have an answer for that, Anne-Marie, but I'm wanting to also interject as part of that question is the pituitary glands. What is its participation in the Eye of Horus, and can the or does the golden liquid light and nectar, can that flow into the pineal, or not pineal, sorry, the pituitary? Anyway, I just wanted to add that.
This is Shalvati. In answer to Kelly's just latest question, the pituitary gland function is for inner vision, intuition, insight, imagination, and concentration. It also works with your clairvoyancy and your sensory perceptions. So yes, the pituitary gland is very active in all of that. And this comes off a chart that I studied many years ago. 07 is on the corner of the chart, mm-hmm. where it takes each of the This is a chart of the endocrine system, and it takes each one of the pieces of the endocrine system, which chakra it's in, which sound, code, color, function, dysfunction, crystals for the pituitary gland, or azurite, lapis, sodalite. And then the one for the pineal is why we're attracted to our amethyst, the quartz, the moldavite, and the purple jasper. This one even has the color sounds, I mean the aromatherapy for it, for the pineal, is your lotus and your rose, your spruce and your lavender. Your pituitary is your jasmine, your mint, mugwort, your star anus, and your geranium.
So, Charlotte, I'm wondering with that, you mentioned that you took the course a number of years ago. Have you noticed with the work that there's been an evolution of what's been taught in some of those courses? And if so, what is, like...
I think the evolution piece is how and what frequency you're carrying will vary in what becomes most functional for you. And what you have experienced in your path to this point and further down the path.
The reason why I'm asking is, like, some of the courses I've taken as well and learned certain things, I noticed that there has been an evolution where it's almost not recognizable anymore. Some is, but some isn't, so I'm curious about, it feels like the reference points are all disappearing as well. So anyway, I was just curious if you had noticed that, because I know you're very learned.
On some of the things I have, it's kind of like it used to be this, and now it's much more that. And sometimes it's very subtle in its... And I'll just use color as an example. It still may be purple, but it's not the same color. It's the same thing with, once you start adding, take any color and you add an iridescence to it, it then doesn't look the same anymore.
So you are noticing an evolution then of...
Yes.
Of, that's okay.
And that all has to do with... From my perspective, has to do with the fact that the amount of energy that's on the planet, the lightening of the density factor because of the increasing of the energy, and the fact that we're functioning now from the perspective of the fifth dimension, which is not that of the... the third, and I just use water as one of the things that most shows that, the difference between a cloud, water, and an ice cube is only the speed of the electron. I see third dimension as the ice cube. We're in fourth, which is the water, and we're starting to work up in the etheric, which would be the cloud. It's definitely different, but yet it still has the same... molecular structure, but properties and what you can do and all this kind of stuff and how they're interrelated are all different. And as we expand to the, fifth, sixth, and seventh, all of these things will then have a whole different perspective and ability to use. And that's why I know I'm agreeing with you that it's time for us to put this into application one step at a time. And as I refer to as cooking, you may learn how to do something, you're not the gourmet cook yet, but keep going. The more application you do, it's like an artist. First, their first stuff looks pretty scribbly, and then all of a sudden they have developed a talent that is just amazing.
that it wasn't on the first stroke.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have one other thing that I noticed when I was triangulating I triangulated first the pineal, the pituitary, and the obligata, and then I was triangling the pituitary, the pineal, and the hippocampus, and then I put the four points of attention together, making it more of a tetrahedron, and from there, that's where it went more. I could see the energy of each one of those points coming together in the center in more of a spiral, and from there it would spiral in my head and then up through the crown and into the Ark of the Covenant. When I put them together and had them work as a group. And so I think that's helping with our expansion of the crown chakra, which also helps with our expansion of being able to anchor the soul and the oversoul and all of that piece, all of who you are. Did I lose everybody? It's all quiet.
No, everybody's just being quiet.
Okay.
Well, I think they're taking it in.
And I know for me working on the grids, they're showing me the other grids that I need to work on. And it's a lot more than all the quartz ones. Didn't really look at some of the other stones.
Hello, this is Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. I unfortunately missed the first half an hour of this phone call. And so I can't wait to go back and hear the recording. But I'm just fascinated listening to what everyone is talking about. And I assume the question, the topic question, was how we're experiencing the holographic projections.
Yeah.
Or just in general, how we're experiencing the teachings. So, yes, I'm really enjoying everyone's perspective. And I just wanted to add, my experience is a lot with geometries. And so what was just said about drawing those geometries in the brain, like I'm constantly getting out little pieces of paper and drawing geometries. And I feel like my whole field is full of geometries. Just like the aura or this expanded field of geometries. So the information seems to come in those patterns, and they have colors and lots of repetition that eventually will pop into my head as words, often like just as I'm waking up or just as I'm going to sleep. So what was being said about translating these projections, it's beyond what our senses know, and then it just kind of somehow converts after being present in our spaces. That's how I'm experiencing it. And then a question about all this is that I have been curious also about the third eye and the pineal. And I remember, I think it was Kuthumi that said, the third eye is not the pineal. And something like that stuck in my head. And I remembered right back to the very beginning in Mastering Alchemy, when we talked about the pineal, I saw it as a pyramid, like a prism. And then the third eye was sitting on top of it. And now I've been getting these images of like a white ball on top of this purple indigo pyramid, and feeling that doing its own projection. Like as I'm receiving projections, I'm also feeling like I'm projecting myself more. So I'd just like to put that out there for anyone to comment on, or if they have similar experience.
This is Charvati. The pineal's geometry is more like a pine cone. So that triangular piece that you saw, many times that ball of light is the sparks that are coming off the seed crystals.
Mm-hmm. And the seed crystals being part of the pineal, or the in the forehead, where this was also a discussion we had with, on one of Joe's phone calls. What are you saying?
The position that the seed crystal is setting in are the ones that are on the forehead and the hairline. But when it is connecting with the pineal, it will look like a little spark of light above it.
Mm-hmm.
When they are feeding with, when they are connecting with each other.
Ah.
And sometimes I see when I'm getting one connection from one crystal to the pineal, it'll be single flamed. I've gotten all three to connect, it'll be a tri-flame, more like a little, campfire where you got more than one flame, rather than a single candle.
Right.
So I can tell which crystals are engaging by the number of flame tips, I guess you could call it.
Interesting.
As the three of them are triangulating, or if it's just coming from one. Many times the singular one comes from the one that sits at the hairline, rather than the doubles that are over your eyebrows.
No, I'm going to focus in and see what I see.
Those three as a triangle, and use the pineal as that fourth point, you get that other geometry.
The tetrahedron, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Switching from a three-pointed geometry to a four-pointed geometry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask.
Hi, this
the
is
girl.
Kathy.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Just one question. Do you feel the different seed crystals are giving different information?
Yes.
Can you expand on that?
The seed crystals are one of the points in which some of the information to me comes through. It's almost like a chip that receives it and then can feed it. And it's also an energy wave that can bring things in for activation. And sometimes they look at them as a relay point.
I'd like to add a little bit to that, because my experience is just a little different. So I'm not sure if we're each experiencing the seed crystals differently as well. I do feel them as receptor sites for, like, the holographic projections and the information, whether it's holographic or not, from the beginning of when we started Seeding Divine. And I experience it in the middle of my head. So I don't tend to track things like, okay, here, activate the seed. I just trust that, okay, this I am dedicated to the seeds being activated, like, yes, and whatever that happens. But I experience it in the middle of my head. So I'd love clarity on that.
I believe that's where they are, Joanne, is in the center of the head. And for me, I see them as like crystals in a radio or any kind of a transmitting device that we use in our physical world. So they receive and they facilitate our ability to project or to transmit.
Send a receiver.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the receiving I get, this is fascinating then. So is the transmission to, like, the reciprocal blessing to the source, or is it, as Mark was saying, that, you know, we receive the hologram and then it's up, like some of us, we translate it into different things, books, creations, new paradigms, whatever that is, or is it both? Because I miss that capacity of the projection of it, or the.
Well, I think that, you know, that's part of having that in our body, because, you know, and maybe we can further discuss that. But where was I going with that? Anything that we think or feel in our body through the mental emotional body gets transmitted into the collective consciousness of humanity, of which we are a part. Mm-hmm. And those seed crystals, in addition to receiving from the source of our being, also function as a transmitter because of the electrical charges that emanate from them.
Okay, I'm going to really invite awareness on that then. And
yeah. Well, if anybody else has a comment, anybody else have a comment on that, please feel free.
Well, this is Charlotte. When, just like we're sitting in this call, some people are only receiving.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't transmitting yet. And it's not. It's just what choice of function are you choosing at what time? And it doesn't mean that the crystal doesn't have that function. You just haven't used that application.
Right.
Yeah. It just seems these capacities are present. Sometimes it's... we get triggered to be aware. So anyway, I've taken up a lot of space in the call tonight, so I'm going to mute. And thank you all. That really activated something. I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Thank you. We are almost out of time. And I don't know what you've... If anyone has a question for Master Katumi, or if we want to spend the next 15 minutes conversing, and I think, you know, just from my perspective, I can see him smiling and really being very enthusiastic that everyone that has spoken tonight or have come to the forefront to engage in this conversation, to show everyone how valuable this community is, and these types of questions and responses from each other. So I ask you, how would you like to proceed?
I would love to hear from Master Katumi to maybe give his point of view on all this.
And I'm going to add to that, Twankin, is if he can actually purposefully send a holographic, like whatever, I don't know, and have us
a message.
Yeah, like consciously experience, you know, in a group. Like I know we do that in our sessions, but just play a little bit and have that that experience, because I'm going to play with the simultaneous receiving and transmitting. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have about 15 minutes left. So if you would like, yeah, I can bring forth Master Katumi, and we can continue getting his input. And, you know, if you want to converse with them, feel free to do that. Would that be agreeable?
Great.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Give me a minute. It is I, Katumi. I am so pleased with each and every one of you that have gathered with us this evening. You have taken this role as the orchestrator of these community calls, and you have invited each other to ask questions and for the response to come from the group itself. This is a very important step that you have taken. You are masters in training, and you must value what you have to offer to our community. So this is a big step that you have taken this evening, and we are very pleased to see that you are stepping up in your mastery. So a lot of things were discussed this evening, and they were very valuable concepts that were brought up, and everyone that responded from their own experience. So you can see how varied that is within our community, as it is in the master realm, which is a more collective, well, it's the same type of collective as your community of humans. But each member of the larger collective of our crucible has a unique way of expressing the energetics of source energy as that collective, as do you. And you also have come into an physical embodiment so that you could express an individuality that many of us, even though we present ourselves as an individual, are really a collective energy. So I give that to you to mull over in the next couple of weeks. So I really, unless there is something that you particularly want to hear from me about, I would like you to continue this discussion, but maybe adding to it the value of these teachings and projections, holographic projections, to the mental emotional body, and how the activation of these, of the endocrinal system, provides a opportunity for each of you individually to have more sovereignty in your mental emotional body, directing your emotions very precisely as well as your thoughts into what you are creating and what you are transmitting to the collective of humanity. So any comments on that?
This is Sharaka, Master Kutumi. I have a question. I believe it's related to this emotional and mental balance. This is a question I have for a while. I would like more clarity about understanding when I go through tough times to understand if it is just imbalance, which I need to kind of like bring myself back to the balance, or if it is initiation, or if it is maybe influence of the sons of Gil, I would like to have clarity on that subject, please.
Now, are you speaking about thoughts and emotions here, Sharaka?
Yes, because I believe it relates to emotions and thoughts because last year I went through depression for a long time, and I was trying to shake it off, and I believe that I probably just postponed initiation, because after that you were explaining how we deal with initiation differently, that we actually don't shake it off, that we kind of live through that. And when I did that, so I believe that depression disappeared finally. And so I would like to see the difference between when these difficulties come, how to recognize what to do, and also a little bit, not too much, but a little bit to understand the sense of being also, and they influence us how to recognize that. Because I also was sick last year, and so I would like to know maybe if it was an influence of that.
Well, for you, dear one, it was an initiation. When you have a consistent depression where you're not able to shake what you term shake it off or focus on something else, then there is a deeper seated emotion that needs your attention. And this is part of that initiation process. If it is an emotion that is more fleeting, such as a reaction with anger, say, and it's just that particular reaction and then it's gone, that's a reaction that you can, when you pay consciously attention to it, make a different choice and choose a different emotion. But in depression, you cannot see that you have a choice at that moment. So you have to go through the depths of the initiation in order for you to change it. Because at the very depth of it, you do not see that you have a choice. So there are a lot of variables when we start talking about the mental emotional body, because every emotion and every thought is somewhat connected. You see that?
Yes.
But
yes.
In depression is a very complex part of that mental emotional body.
Yes. Can you just maybe just shortly also explain how to recognize influence of the Illuminatis, or I know briefly you brought it up in our teachings.
The what? Pardon?
To understand when there is maybe an influence of the sons of Beals that they have attention on us, and so we need to be healthy so we wouldn't get influenced by them. I don't know if it's important. If not, so I don't need to know. But it, I was curious about it.
Well, your environment is a very important piece of this. So to make sure that you do not put yourself in harm's way or in places that do not reflect an environment that is conducive to you holding a certain frequency of light within your body, within your thoughts and within your emotions. So to be very selective on what you engage in physically, where you are at any given, where you choose to be in, especially in times of like gatherings, celebrations, or that type of thing, or times when you are with a group of people in a social situation. Is that conducive to you as that individual? Now, there are those forces that we don't often discuss because we don't want you to place a lot of attention there, only in keeping a very refined light frequency around you. But there are those forces that some of you call dark forces, you call opposing factors, that are not, that don't necessarily have bodies, but feed off of the mental emotional responses or the mental emotional transmissions that humans transmit. And if they are of a negative or lower vibration, really seated in that third dimensional frequency of separation and fear, they actually, these entities feed off of that. That's where they receive their energy, where yours comes from the light of source, because you are a divine entity. So it is not that we want you to place a lot of attention on the polarized sector of this area of the galaxy. We want you to stay focused on your divinity, on your light, and on what is being transmitted from the realms of source into your body, and focus on that, how to maintain the highest frequency of light within your body and within your consciousness that you possibly can. But if you notice that you have bombarded by these negative forces, then by all means, use Michael's shield. Call on the archangelic realm. Call on the realms of the warriors of light to surround and protect you. Call in the light. Use that third eye. Use all of those parts of your chakras, your sacred heart, your throat chakra, the will of who you were created to be from the source energy. use all of the tools that you have to project this radiant light of yourself, because these entities cannot withstand that type of environment, and they will withdraw. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
So anybody else have a comment, because we are getting close to the end of this session, which has been a tremendous session. I want to make one more comment about what we've just been discussing, about not focusing your attention. Where you focus your attention, this dictates how you are able to maintain the highest frequency of light, the highest expression of yourself as a divine entity. And these teachings are showing you that. The functions of the pituitary, the pineal, the medulla oblongata, all of these parts that function, have specific functions, also have both physical as well as spiritual functions. And they are all very important. What is happening is your triadic system is being upgraded to a much higher, more refined frequency. And each section, the first triad, the second triad, the third triad, the fourth triad, is being joined together in this magnificent golden light of Christ consciousness, to where you are able to manage your thoughts and your emotions very specifically. You are able to use each of the triads in tandem, in one huge spiraling Christed energy. And you open up the Ark of the Covenant in a much different, refined form. So when we again return to having any kind of discussion about creating thought from that fourth triad, it will be a very productive teaching that will be brought through. But these sessions, these preliminary sessions, are very, very important. The functioning of how the brain is being upgraded to process spiritual thought that is so refined, that is so beyond the rational mind, that it is difficult for you to put all the pieces and parts together, but they will come together. They will, and they will function. All of these, this beautiful triadic system will function as a unit. So, dear beloveds, I think we have run to the termination of this beautiful discussion this evening. You have done well, dear ones. And we look forward to next month's community call, being with you, having you conduct the session. So we will close this community call as we have begun it, seated together in the crucible, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, joined together in this beautiful expression of Christ consciousness. Blessings, beloveds. blessings.